Well done, everyone. It was lovely to hear you all tonight, and well done to those who prepared you for it as well. We're taking our Bibles this evening, and we're turning to Hebrews in the chapter 3. Hebrews in the chapter 3. Reading together from the verse 7 of the chapter. Hebrews in the chapter 3, entering in at the verse 7, the Word of God says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some when they had heard did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." And in our reading there at the verse 19. I have three simple thoughts to leave with you this evening as we conclude a year of gospel ministry in this assembly. And as we do so, I pray that the Lord will help us all to truly hear his word, and believer and unbeliever alike to heed the exhortation that is given in his word. Many have been the challenges that have been directed toward believers from this pulpit in this past year. Many have been the exhortations to do that which pleaseth the Lord and that which is in keeping with the word of the Lord. I wonder, as we reflect on a year that has passed, believer, are you one who has hardened your heart? Are you one who remains sensitive to the leading and to the guiding of God as he moves by his Spirit through the preaching and through the teaching of his word? But tonight our purpose and our intent for gathering is to proclaim the gospel. And so we remind one and all that from this pulpit and platform also, there have been numerous instances where the gospel has been extended and the invitation issued as the gospel has been declared. Today, I wonder, will you harden your heart? Have you hardened your heart? So we look at yesterday, that which is given to us here in the Word of God, for we look back. And here in the passage that we've read together, the writer of the Hebrews reminds us of a generation gone past. He reminds us of those who heard the very clear command of God, those who heard the very clear exhortation of God. And through it all, God was seeking to draw them unto himself, was seeking to work in their lives in a way that they had never experienced before, in a way that he had promised to do so, but yet, through their own experience and their own testimony thus far, they had never truly identified the hand of God working and moving as he had promised to do. These were a stiff-necked people. These were a people who thought they had it all figured out. These were a people who thought that they would go their own way, do their own thing, and despite the promises of God, when faced with the reality of life, they murmured and complained, deciding for themselves that that which they were found in, captivity, bondage, chains, under servitude to a wicked master, was far better than all that was anticipated and promised in the Word of God. And so they said to their leader in that generation, "Have you brought us out of Egypt so that we could die here in the wilderness? Have you brought great changes into our lives? Have you arrived and declared a great message, a message of expectation, simply so that we would follow after you blindly to this point, only to realize that all you had promised was never going to come to pass? You see, we're a people who have it all figured out. We're a people who know what's best for ourselves. We're a people who will decide our own destiny. We're a people who will decide by our own efforts, our own endeavors, to achieve all that we desire. They hardened their hearts. That's why the writer goes to great lengths to remind even the reader, us tonight, of those who, indeed in verse 12 it says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God." Look back to yesterday and see the lessons of the lives of those who have lived in generations previous and see the error of their ways. Realize the mistake that they made in not heeding the word of God and not responding to the invitation extended by God. See the error that was existent in their lives as they decided to go their own way. Yesterday's lessons teach us that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, that seemeth right unto a woman, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Yesterday teaches us that despite high levels of academia, great levels of achievement and attainment in this generation, man and woman, you and I, are unable to do anything about the greatest problem that exists in our lives. The sin that forever separates us from a holy God. So as we look back on this, the last gospel meeting of this calendar year, learn the lesson of yesterday. Learn by the failures of others that you will never find peace with God nor know peace with God by hardening your heart or going your own way. You see, as much as yesterday teaches us a lesson, so too we can look forward and tomorrow reminds us of another lesson. In verse 11, we're reminded of my rest. Come across to the verse 18 as well, and it says, "To whom he sware that they should not enter into his rest." Reminds us of that which is laid up, prepared. That which is the promise, the reward of God for all who believe, for all who receive and accept the invitation extended, for all who come the gospel way. And the writer of the Hebrews is going to great lengths to prove even the truth of the gospel in a day in which he lived and when many sought to corrupt the simplicity of the gospel, sought to add works to it, sought to add legalism to it, sought to add vain tradition to it. He was reminding them of Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice. Jesus Christ, the one who came and was the completion of all Old Testament scripture, who died upon a cross so that he could purchase eternal life for all who will believe. And as he writes, he describes that which he has purchased, that which he has promised, as being rest. He goes on to remind the believer of the rest that is awaiting them. Why? Because they know relief from the toils and from the struggles of life. They know relief from the oppressions and the temptations of life. They know relief from those who would seek to war against them, the enemy, the flesh, and the devil, as we were thinking of this morning. They know what it is to be in the presence of God Himself and there to be accepted. And so in the gospel we are reminded that tomorrow is promised to the believer. Oh, it might not be a tomorrow here on earth, for no man knoweth the day whenever he shall step from this world into eternity. But tomorrow is promised to the believer. Because whether that be in this life or the next, our times are in His hands. And the believer, as they have accepted the invitation of the gospel, know what it is to expect a great reward. Know what it is to expect a welcome there into the place that God has prepared for them who love Him. All of us, no doubt, have been to a funeral at one time or another, and at a funeral, we are reminded, especially whenever we gather to mourn the passing of one who has died in faith, one who has died in the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, of those well-rehearsed verses in John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And oh friend, tonight as we come to reflect, not only in yesterday, but as we come to look forward to tomorrow, I remind you from the Word of God that there is a promise of tomorrow for all who will receive the invitation in the gospel. For all who know what it is to have made peace with God by the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. Friend, as we gather, that's the only way that you can face tomorrow with any certainty. And so without doubt, amongst us tonight, there are those who cannot face tomorrow with that certainty. Who do not know what it is to anticipate the entering into the rest, that place of eternal reward that God is currently preparing and has prepared for all who know and love Him. Oh, why would you linger? Why would you tarry? Why would you not heed the lessons to be learned from yesterday? Why would you not grasp a hold of the hope of tomorrow? Why would you remain lost and perishing and dying in your sin? So that brings us to our final thought, not only yesterday, not only tomorrow, but today. Today. This is what we have right now. This is what God in His grace and mercy has granted to us. And here in the close of another year, sitting under the sound of another gospel message, God extends the invitation to you. He says, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Many times you have heard the gospel message repeated. Many times you've been made aware of your need of a Savior. Many times it's been rehearsed to you how that we're all born exactly the same way, in sin and chastened in iniquity. And yes, we might not like to call ourselves sinners, but that isn't our right in any way to dictate what we are called, for the Bible describes us all as falling short of the glory of God. The very best amongst us, right down to the very worst amongst us. God terms us all sinners in His sight. We're sinners because we know what it is to be found in that human race that's been corrupted by sin, as our forefather Adam partook of that fruit in the Garden of Eden. We're sinners because of the choices that we've made throughout the days of our lives, choices that have simply served to enrich our own appetites and done nothing to obey the heeds and the commands, or the heeding and the commanding of God's Word. So we're found here tonight, separated from God. Why? Because of the great sin debt that we have built up and accumulated throughout the days of our lives here on earth. And sin, when it's finished, remember, we've already said, bringeth forth death, and after death, what? The judgment. Upon that day, there shall be a great weighing on the balances. And just as there was a great gathering in Babylon one night, and there upon the wall appeared this hand, and it said, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." And when it was translated, it simply said, "You're found in the balances and found wanting." And I stand up before you as one who would be able in any way to tip the balances in my favor, for I have done nothing to receive them or merit the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. And I remind you that you also have done nothing to merit such favor also. And on that day, whenever the scales are piled up and whenever sin is accumulated, and there the debt of sin, the wages of sin, the great burden of sin is placed upon that scale, all of your good will be but nothing in his sight. And so today you stand outside of Christ, you stand under the sentence of condemnation and wrath. And yes, at this Christmas time, we love to be filled with joy. We love to enter into all the promises that Christmas affords. But let me tell you, there's a reality to what the close of a year brings. And the close of a year brings the reality that life is fleeting. Days are passing. And yet, you're here tonight unsealed. Holy Spirit says, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. If in this service tonight God is knocking at your heart's door, if tonight you stand under the full realization that without Him you are hopeless and lost and perishing and dying, then let go of all that holds you from Him. And flee to the cross. Because just like tomorrow is promised to the believer, so I tell you from the Word of God that tomorrow is also promised to the unbeliever. But unlike that which is promised, most clearly promised to the child of God, the believer is simply promised that which they deserve. Eternal separation from God forever. Eternal judgment. Eternal suffering. And many there be who have passed into God's eternity in this past year, and 5 seconds after they died, they knew what they should have done in life. They knew the choice that they should have made. They knew the invitation they should have accepted. They knew that to harden their heart was folly. To allow another moment to pass. It's the biggest mistake they ever made. Well, friend, tonight, heed the warnings that is given in the gospel. Because today it is still said. And in verse 15 it begins with these words, while it is said. Because there will come a time in your life's experience, and there will come a time in this age when the voice of God will be silent. When the stirring of God within will no longer be known. When the striving of the Spirit of God in the small hours right throughout the course of a day and the menial tasks of life and all the things that you come to and all the rememberings of the services you've attended, none of those things shall move you. But tonight it's said, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Don't say no to the Savior again. Don't leave this building without ensuring that for you it is well. All is well with your eternal, never-dying soul. Oh, learn the lesson of yesterday. Heed the invitation of tomorrow. Respond to the exhortation of today. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See in the portals, He's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me.